What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with hogsports.com, HAWGsports.com. Razorback Stadium has a new title sponsor, Community America Razorback Stadium. I got this ball yesterday when I attended the event, and there's been an interesting reaction to it, and I want to talk about that. I want to talk about why it's important this day and age to have a title sponsor, first of all, but also the reaction that we've seen from Razorback fans as well. We're going to talk about some of my thoughts on NIL, where NIL is right now. We'll talk about summer football, what's going on with that, and some of my opinions around the football program, and we're going to bring Connor Goodson in to talk about the NBA draft results with three Razorbacks being selected. And we'll take your questions as well, of course. All that and more on today's episode of Hawk Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows what knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one today at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane team. Visit craneteam.com.
Right. So interesting reaction, I guess, to Community America. And I got to admit, guys, when I saw the name was Community America, I was like, that's not an in-state institution. And I was like, what's Community America Credit Union? Well, win for Community America Credit Union, because I didn't know what it was until, raise your hand if you didn't know what Community America was until yesterday. I didn't know. So I guess they're already getting benefits from having their name out there. And, you know, it's a credit union, so it's not like a bank. Because like basically all the money goes back in. But I saw a lot of the reactions like why can't we get an in-state, you know, company or something? Because like Kansas money's no good. This place is based out of Kansas. Their money's not any good. Like, you don't want money from outside the state pouring into Arkansas. Why wouldn't you want that? But anyway, they're apparently making a big push inside the state. And they're not the only ones, like, in this day and age, and it's not a sexy name, Community America Razorback Stadium. I get that. It's not like Ferrari Razorback Stadium, which if it was Ferrari Razorback Stadium, people still complain. Well, you know, why is it an Italian company? You know, even though that's a lot sexier sounding. But in this day and age in college sports, you have got to have corporate sponsors. And you do, like, and Hunter Yurecek is not wrong in saying, you know, there are other programs out there with 100,000 seats in the SEC, and Arkansas has got to figure out ways to be creative and make up for it. In fact, here's a cut up. This is 1 minute clip of the key points that I recorded for Hunter Yurecek yesterday at the press conference.
Exciting day for our athletic program and our university to rename Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, and what an incredible partner that we have found in Community America Credit Union. It was important for them to kind of plant their flag here in Northwest Arkansas and the state of Arkansas as they continue to build their presence in our state. It is a significant financial enhancement to our athletic department budget, and 76,000 seats here. Some of the competitors in the SEC, and they have over 100,000 seats, and so we have to make sure that we're using every revenue stream that we can. It would be unbelievable if I told you the process to change out every single sign in this venue. You have to get cranes in here. It's about a 9 to 12 month process just to change the incredible amount of signage. It's a competitive advantage for us to hold those numbers internal. It was a very favorable financial agreement. There's a carve out for NIL. Obviously, that NIL is very important to us, and I think it's important to Community America for the NIL aspect to start in the first year of the contract.
I understand why we're bitching. Okay, like, it's the same reason we were all bitching about Ryan Silverfield the day that he was announced. It was unexpected. It was out of left field, and I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me, because we've been so beat down as a fan base that we expect things to be awful. Ryan Silverfield, Chad Morris 2.0, Ron Roberts, John Chavis 2.0, you know, Community America Razorback Stadium. That didn't roll off the tongue. That's not who we thought. We thought it was going to be J.B. Hunt or OZK Bank or something. You know, it's like it was unexpected. So it's important to note that we're bitching about something that Arkansas needed. Like they needed this. And I don't think it's a – I don't – you know, like it's been speculated, like, you know, why haven't they – I would like them to release the financial details. Yeah, I would. You know, it's – I want to know what those numbers are. And, you know, even if anything comes out, it's going to be in the financial report. It doesn't take hold. Now, the deal starts now, but the stadium naming rights starts next year. But the relationship with Community America starts now. But, like – I don't know if it's going to be like released in the financial report because it's like the stadium naming rights starts July 1st and the fiscal report's July to June 30th. So it'd be on like the next one, be like come out in 2028 and probably all be lumped into one category also. So we may never know officially what it is, but also we know that Learfield had 2 years to find the stadium name and they did it in a year. So do we think Arkansas just settled? Yurecek says it's going to be $4 to $5 million for this deal, which he thinks, you know, a year, which he thinks it would bring in, which would be a minimum of like $52 million. Do we think that they were just like, well, we'll just take the first deal that comes along, you know, or are we like, this is the deal we want. This is a good deal for us. I think probably the latter. Also, you look around the stadium. Like, here's another interesting point. So Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, which is too long a name, first of all, but like, you know, that is a sponsorship deal also. Like, that's the Donald W. Reynolds Donald W. Reynolds Foundation, you know, and Donald Reynolds was, you know, born in Fort Worth, raised in Oklahoma, went to college at Missouri, and died in the Mediterranean. He lived in Fort Smith, but not until he started doing business here, which, I mean, these guys are trying to start doing business here. So I don't know that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's got a better sound to it than Walton Wazelback Stadium, because that's how that would have sounded. We would have complained about that. Hell, people complain about the two signs that say Walmart on the corners of the stadium. People complain about that. People complain about – they're going to complain about Tyson jersey patches, which are happening. They're going to complain about the Tyson Field logo. They're going to complain about the Walmart Field logo. That's where we are in college athletics. Like, Arkansas has got to have money, and this is how they fix it, by corporate sponsorships. I don't love it. I don't love where college athletics is, and I think a lot of people's mind is like, well, you know, there's Bryant Denny Stadium and there's Jordan Hare Stadium and, you know, stuff that's named after like half a coach and half of, you know, some kind of benefactor, Vaught Hemingway Stadium. You know, so and here we are as Razorbacks, Community America Razorback Stadium, a company that doesn't have roots in Arkansas, that's trying to get roots in Arkansas. And again, you know, Kansas money is still good. Like, you can still spend that money. And as we get to more like NFL type model, you know, like you look at, or professional sports in general, Detroit Pistons play at Little Caesars Arena. The Minnesota Timberwolves are at Target Arena. Kentucky plays at Kroger Field. Vanderbilt plays at First Bank Stadium. Memphis is Simmons Bank Stadium. Colorado State's Canvas, Colorado Stadium, which Canvas is a credit union. Texas Tech has Jones AT&T Stadium. Louisville plays at LNN Federal Credit Union Stadium. Miami plays at Hard Rock Stadium, which I guess is a good sounding name, and it's an NFL. They split it with the NFL team, obviously. Louisville plays at Allegheny Federal Credit Union Stadium. Arizona State's at Mountain America Stadium, Capital One Field. It's where Maryland plays. And then you've got, you know, other teams that, like, you think of, like, that don't have to do the corporate sponsorship. Alabama has Bill Giants logos. Auburn has Yellowwood logos all over it. Georgia has Delta Airlines. Ohio State has Safelite Auto Glass all over the turf. Purdue has State Farm on-field branding, and Bobby Dodd Stadium at Hyundai Field. Okay, so, I mean, I'm just making a point, like, this is where things are headed. You may not think the name sounds sexy. I'm willing to bet it's probably going to grow on you. I had the same kind of reaction, like, hey, that's Community America Razorback Stadium. I don't know. I don't know about that, you know, but like ultimately, do we really care as long as they're getting, you know, $4 to $5 million a year like they felt like they could get? And I can understand not wanting to like be braggadocious about how much money you got from it too, because you have another partner that's involved in this deal. You don't be like, look how much we fleeced these guys for. Like, look at these clowns. Look what we did to them. So anyway, that's a few thoughts on the stadium naming rights. Arkansas needs money, guys. Like, and part of this is going to NIL, which I kind of like some of the things that's going on with NIL. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Blakeman's. Blakeman's Fine Jewelry, proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks, another nice sponsor that we really like. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is also offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you know you could also shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Again, visit them at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers. All right, so I wanted to make a couple other points on some thoughts. So NIL stuff right now, like a lot of the talk that we see with NIL is fan donation. And that's important. But I've spoken to some of the guys at the Link U, you know, and, you know, I've talked to the guys that were running Arkansas Edge. Two of the three heads of Arkansas Edge, I've spoken to them. And this is nothing against those guys and nothing against, like, Kyle, who I thought really worked hard, who was kind of in marketing for them. I thought he did a good job. I just didn't think he had any support. But I also felt like when I was meeting with them, almost in a way, like they were picking my brain, seeing if I had any ideas. And from talking to some of the people at the Link U recently, I don't get that impression from them. I feel like they've got a plan. And one of the things that I was impressed with, and because I do think you can run into donor fatigue in this NIL landscape. One of the things that I felt impressed with about them was they have a deal like where they have different vendors and stuff. Like, so say they have a digital marketing company that they've partnered with, right? So they'll go to X car dealership and say, hey, you know, we've got a digital marketing company that won't cost you any more and may save you some money. And if you go with them, then a decent percentage of that will go into the pockets of Razorback athletes. It's not going to cost you any more money. You just have to go with our digital marketing team. You know, you get the same service and, you know, and then as a bonus, like you have Razorback student athletes do an autograph signing or a commercial or something for you like that. So you get a benefit and you don't end up spending any more money. I think that's a pretty good workaround. You know, like, and I've mentioned like with Randy Rainwater, because he still uses paper and stuff for everything. Like if they've got a Dunder Mifflin partnership and like, hey, you should use Dunder Mifflin paper company and a percentage of that, since, you know, we're increasing their business, you know, we're able to lower the price. You know how business works. And plus some of that money is going to go to Razorback student athletes. It's like, that's a nice little workaround in my opinion, but they had a lot of other things. I know that they're coming out with some products and stuff. Like today they're doing a volleyball deal at Torchy's Tacos. They're doing like a team deal and, you know, there'll be like activations with that also. And there's more to come, like with other, you know, sports stuff too. So, I did feel like the Link U, my experience talking with them was very different in terms of the support and direction that I felt that they had. So these are positive things, guys. Like, yeah, I mean, like we don't like to have to, you know, have a title sponsor. We want to be, you know, just like Williams-Brice or Jordan Hare or Vaught Hemingway or Bryant Denny or Tiger Stadium and stuff. But, you know, a lot of teams out there are doing that kind of stuff. I mean, I mean, they just are. So, and I mentioned like the on-field logos and stuff. So it's just a different era, guys. It's just, it's a different era. And this probably should have happened a while back. And, you know, I think the reasoning they have said is like, because the university's trying to find sponsorships and they didn't want to step on their toes. I'd heard that before. I don't know why the things can't coexist though. I mean, I have sponsors for this show, sponsors that I'm proud of. And I didn't, you know, like we went and got them all about the same time, you know, so I don't know why the university couldn't do that. So anyway, just a few thoughts on it. Arkansas needs like, and why does, where does Arkansas need money? They need money for, really, they honestly, guys, they like, you don't want to talk about something they did poorly, like building for the future with the Fred W. Smith Center, like planning for the future. Like, for example, when they built it, they built 9 assistant coach offices. There's 13 assistant coaches now. Like, they didn't plan for expansion or growth in college sports. You know, and they've got a lot of nice facilities and stuff. But, like, they didn't put, like, a media workroom in there. We used to have to split the media workroom from day one with the tight ends meeting room. Or eventually it became the special teams meeting room. Like, we had to, like, adjust every single day. And basically what was a dungeon of a room. The lighting was terrible. I mean, it just – just was not thought out well in some regards like that. And I mean, like even Silverfield's coaching office, you know, like you look at Texas Tech's head coach office, and Arkansas's got a lot of stuff Texas Tech has, like in terms of facilities and things that they need. But like Texas Tech's coaching office is basically like a suite. Like it's like an apartment. I mean, you can sleep in there. You got a bed, you know, like he's probably got a kitchenette. I mean, I don't know. There's just things like that. But you know, on a real level, like Arkansas's football recruiting department probably shouldn't be, you know, what is it, Barnhill or Bud Walton Arena? It's not in the football facility. The football team should be able to have meals in the football operations center instead of going to the Jerry and Gene Jones Student Athlete Success Center. Like most teams do that. Like there's little things like that. You know, Arkansas is not a poverty program anymore. They do have some money. That was obvious through recruiting, you know, with the transfer portal. And I want to get to that. I want to talk about some recruiting stuff. And Connor, I know I'm running just a little bit late on you. I just got a couple of more things that I want to talk about before I get to you. But first thing I want to get to is just what's going on right now. So summer training, we're all familiar with, you know, strength and conditioning stuff that they have always done. And, you know, in recent years, things have changed and shifted to where now you can work with the players and stuff. You can call it OTAs or whatever you want, but you basically get 2 hours a week. You get 8 total hours, okay? A lot of that's dedicated to strength and conditioning. You get 2 hours for film review a week, so you can spend time doing that, and non-contact skill instruction, 2 hours a week. The way I understand that, that's basically being broken down into 2 practices a week, okay? So 14 total OTA practices. You can call them OTAs or whatever you want. It's non-contact and stuff, but it's still practices and stuff. And I'll tell you something else that I've discovered recently, and I think this is one of the biggest enhancements to Razorback practice. I can't remember when, really. I mean, maybe since they built the Walker Pavilion and they're able to go inside and practice. It's been a long time. I mean, Pittman's addition to it was air conditioning. The facility's air conditioned now as the last 2 years or so, which is important too. I mean, you want to be able to keep your guys fresh for Thursday practice and not just sweat everything out if you can, because those are lighter days and usually you practice inside on Thursday. But they're putting basically a jumbotron in that facility. So what does that mean? A jumbotron. So there's no fans in there, but like you can basically go over stuff on the big screen for the whole team to see while you're at practice. You can correct them. Okay, like go back and watch film immediately. It's like, okay, this is what happened here. We don't want this. Like, this is what's wrong. This is what the opponent's trying to do. And have it all up on your jumbo screen in practice while you're there. I think that's a huge enhancement. Like, I don't know why that hasn't come along before. I don't know if that was Silverfield's idea or what, but to me, that is a nice addition to add to your practice. And so that's being put together now. So anyway, I think that's a pretty cool deal. But anyway, that's what's going on right now with Razorback football practices. We're in a dead period right now in recruiting. They have 21 commitments. Four of those are four-star recruits. Now, recruiting has changed, obviously. It's all NIL stuff now. But like, what I don't think people recognize is, does it make sense for Arkansas to allocate a huge part of their budget to recruiting when, first of all, you don't have a large population inside the state, but you're going to still recruit the state? It costs more money the farther out you go to bring an athlete in when they're looking for their first school. How much of your, say you have $25 million, and I've been told I'm pretty close on that. That number needs to go up because it's going to keep going up. So say you have $25 million to spend between your revenue sharing allocation, which is about $14.5 million, and the money that you're bringing in for NIL, which hopefully will go up. But still, you're, you know, probably in the middle of the pack in the SEC right now, which is a hell of a lot better than you were, a hell of a lot better. So how much do you allocate towards recruiting? How much do you allocate to these guys that for the most part are going to be sitting on the bench for 2 years and may transfer after 2 years? 15%, $3.75 million maybe. I mean, I think people that are looking to recruiting and saying, what, you know, why aren't we bringing in more four stars and stuff, aren't thinking about where Arkansas needs to spend its money. And now if Arkansas had $40 million like Texas, okay, go out and get all the four stars you want, get a five star. But if you're looking to spend a more reasonable amount of money, and they've got some four stars, Keith Richmond, Elijah Shaw, Odafe Aruru, Jabari Watkins, that's four stars. That's not atypical from a typical recruiting class that Arkansas has brought in before the transfer portal. But it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend $500,000 on a kid that's not going to play for 2 years and may leave before he ever sees the field. But you can go to the transfer portal and get a guy who is coming off his redshirt freshman year, which there's not even redshirts anymore. It's now 5 years. Well, it will be when it's finally ratified, but it always gets finished when they approve it. It always goes through. But a guy that's in his second year, just completed his second year in college, you can go out and get that guy in the transfer portal and still get him at a pretty good price, and his best football is ahead of him and he's ready to go. And he can come back. So what do you spend? Like last year they brought in 40 players. That's too many players to bring in. They have a chance to have some retention this year. So do you allocate next year 60% of your roster, of your NIL budget on retention? $15 million of your budget? And then that gives you, what, 25% less left to spend. It's about $6.25 million if you're working with $25 million. Is that a good formula? For Arkansas, I think it is. Guys that are looking for their second college are way more likely to go long distances to get there. I mean, Arkansas got guys from North Carolina. They got guys from California and spots in between. That's how I would do it if it were me. Okay. We're going to go to Connor Goodson. Connor's joining us on the Ozarks Go hotline. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, Trey? Can't complain. How about yourself?
Doing good. If you're looking for fast, reliable, consistent internet service, check out our friends at Ozarks Go, 479-684-4900, or go to ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G. By the way, Connor, I had this thought because I just mentioned you're not going to have red shirts anymore. We've effectively gotten rid of red shirts, blue shirts, gray shirts. There's no more shirts anymore. It's just 5 years to play five. It starts when you graduate high school or on your 19th birthday. 5 years. So what do we call the fifth-year senior now? Are we going to keep saying fifth-year senior? Should we come up with a new name?
I think because fifth year doesn't – I mean – I guess it rolls off the tongue okay, but I think that we could probably find a better name for it, I think.
What about Penta Sr.? Quintus Sr. Cinco Sr. Quintar? The British use master. Or we could just go with uncle or aunt. Or aunt.
Just unk.
Unk. You just be unk. UNC next to your name. Because, you know, it's going to have the roster. It's going to have everything. And for fifth-year guys right now, it's just a senior with an asterisk beside it to indicate it's a fifth year. I think there needs to be something. I like unk.
I like grad seniors calling obviously people who, you know,
they haven't all graduated.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem is that they don't all graduate in those first four years. So, yeah, I think we could definitely workshop a better name that's a little bit easier than you know.
Yeah,
rolls off.
I kind of like Cinco Senior.
Cinco Senior. That's a good one. I like that.
All right, Connor. So. Great news for Darius Acuff. You know, okay news for Malik Thomas. He was obviously expecting to go in the first round. Really good, I thought, for Trevin Brazil. He was about where the high end of where people were projecting him. But Acuff goes to Sacramento, not the flashiest NBA team in the world, but seventh overall, going to make a lot of money. Malik Thomas ends up at Cleveland, not bad. And Trevin Brazil with the Denver Nuggets. What are your thoughts on how the NBA draft played out for those guys?
Yeah, obviously, I think that there's a little bit of disappointment when you initially hear that Acuff is going to Sacramento, just because that's a place where not a lot of guys have had success. It's a franchise that I think that a lot of people are kind of down on. It's not contending right now. It's not a great situation. There's a lot of turnover consistently. But I do think I saw some videos. I tweeted out one where the crowd there at their watch party erupted whenever the number six pick got announced and they realized that Darius Acuff was there. He's already a fan favorite. The owner wanted him. Everyone in the front office, that was their guy from the start. And there's connections there with Darius's family. And obviously Cal has some connections there as well. I think from a comfortability standpoint and from, you know, that familiarity that he has, I think that bodes well for him. And, you know, he's going to go in and show what he can do. And he's a guy that's super competitive. He's got to be a little bit of patient because they aren't contenders. But overall, I think there were spots for him to go. And the initial cringe reaction of him going to Sacramento was, I think that it's softened a little bit the last couple of days.
Yeah. Darius Acuff has a chance to make a name for himself there, though. What were the Nets thinking? Why would you not take Acuff?
I don't know, man. I remember watching Mikael Brown Jr. and Darius Acuff go at it in Bud Walton Arena, just back and forth, you know, trading blows. There was that stretch in that second half where they were literally just hunting each other, playing iso ball down and back, and they scored like the next 20 points or something like that, and just were blow after blow. But I came away way more impressed with Darius Acuff. Obviously, people are going to say, well, you're biased, you cover the Hogs. But like just from, you know, stepping back in an objective standpoint, I liked Darius Acuff better, and as the season went on, I still think that he was the better prospect. So I was a little confused that was their pick before Darius Acuff. Obviously, his defensive issues, you know, he needs to be better defensively, but just what he gives you offensively and his mindset, I think, is what a lot of people are discounting, and I think that's going to end up biting them later down the road.
You can get better on you know, they say defense is a mentality and stuff. I think that part of Acuff's game and reasons he wasn't aggressive defensively is just the fear of getting in foul trouble. In NBA, obviously, you get one more foul. I guess that's good. But I think that was part of it for him. I think he'll become a better defensive player. But what's hard to do is teach some of the offensive skills and the floor and the court vision that he has. You can't teach that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you can get better at it, I guess. But if you're not going to go from being a bad shooter to a great shooter.
Right. I mean,
that's just not happening. So, especially at this stage. So, what's next for Arkansas basketball, Connor?
Yeah. So, this kind of got lost in all of the stadium naming rights deal and all the hoopla with the draft and everything yesterday. But Arkansas is actually going to host Caleb Origao to this weekend. I think it's Origo. Sorry. I used to – these names, man, they trip me up so much, but it's Origo. Caleb Origo, the 2027 center. He's going to be on campus for a visit starting Friday. It'll wrap up Saturday. I believe he's getting into town later tonight, actually. He's visited. I learned this morning that he's visited Kentucky this past weekend, UConn earlier in the week, and he's wrapping up a visit with BYU before he comes here. Arkansas is going to get the last visit with him, and I think it bodes well. It's setting up well for Arkansas. Obviously, they want him as a reclass, even though he's in 2027 recruiting cycle. They want him to reclass and join this team this year, and I think that he gives them something they don't already have, and I think he would be a really special addition to round out this roster.
Sorry, wrong guy. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy, call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owner's insurance intended it that way, so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto owner's insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Coverage you need, people you trust. Okay, Connor. Obviously we probably should have said, you know, mentioned Super Senior as a name. I just never really liked Super Senior. I always thought of it as like a COVID name or something. And I just feel like what we're at is different, but, I don't know. I might just go with Uncle.
Have you talked about, I wanted to get your thoughts on this real quick. Have you talked about the Malik Thomas decision or where he landed, you know, sliding out of the first round?
Yeah, whether it was a good choice or bad choice for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to be drafted in the first round, and mm-hmm. I don't think there's much of a question that he possibly – well, there is a question. He could, you know, there's a lot of good players coming in.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying like Arkansas is not going to miss Malik Thomas, but there are some dudes coming in who can play and who can shoot also and score. And, you know, the idea that like he's going to be automatically the number one guy if he comes back, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jordan Smith is a future lottery pick coming in. Mika Murinen might be a lottery pick, you know, so I don't know. That's my opinion on it. I think it's unfortunate that he went in the second round, but also I kind of feel like that's fair. I feel like that's where, you know, is he like, yeah, he can shoot. Maybe he's Allen Houston or something, you know, which would be good. That would be a first round quality player. But that, I think that's to me is like the top end of what he would be.
Yeah. And I see at worst him being a guy like Isaiah Joe, you know, who has, he's maybe
at
not
worst.
I
think that's probably fair.
But like his floor, I think is probably an Isaiah Joe, a guy who can come in and be that sniper consistently, but maybe doesn't crack the rotation. I think his ceiling is obviously, you know, it's sky high with just his mindset and everything. He could obviously be that 2A, 2B kind of guy for on a contending team. I think if you know, he continues his ascension, but
Clay might be the ceiling. Maybe it's Clay.
Yeah, Clay Thompson. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I think that it's a little overstated just how, you know, he would have been the go-to guy on this team this year. Mm-hmm. I think he would have had to defer a little bit, especially bringing in guys like Jeremiah Wilkinson and is another guy who's, you know, volume shooter and a guy who can score it really, really efficiently. Mm-hmm. So I think that it was probably a good move on his part just to stay in it, just because he's so confident too. Cal's talked about that otherworldly confidence, but he's also, you know, he went 34. It's not like he was like that North Carolina center who went all the way down into the late 50s. So it's not like he fell that far. He's still going to get a fair shake on a roster spot and everything. So it wasn't the end of the world, but definitely disappointing he wasn't a first rounder, I guess.
Yeah. You know, here's another term for the fifth year senior, Connor. Undrafted.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of things that can play into it. Like, I don't see most guys, you know, I mean, I say that there's plenty of guys that do a fifth year, you know, redshirt, what used to be called a redshirt senior. But, you know, there's no medical redshirts and stuff anymore. Yeah. Like, it's just, you got 5 years. And that's what I've been saying for years now. Like, you don't get to have it all. Yeah. Like, you got hurt. You got hurt another year. That sucks, man. That's tough. But you don't get to have it all. I don't get to have it all. You don't get to have it all. Like, there's got to be rules. There's got to be guidelines and stuff like that. Sometimes you just don't get to have everything that you think you're entitled to. And that's probably a big problem with this country. Don't get me started on that.
Wise words from Trey Biddy, folks.
You see that Amazon driver just drive through?
Oh my gosh.
That person's yard to drop the box off.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Surely that's a lifetime sentence in prison.
Yeah.
Everybody knows my yard.
Are those guys that messed up your yard, are they walking free still?
No, we've got an arrangement to let's just say I'm not paying for yard care for this year. Everything gets fixed.
That's fair, I guess.
All right, Connor, anything else you want to add before we cut you loose?
No, just stay tuned this week. This weekend we'll have updates on Urigo's visit, and hopefully we round out this Arkansas basketball roster and start talking about the season.
Yeah. And still also pay attention at Hawk Sports for the latest in baseball. Diaz, I believe, is the pitcher they just picked up. Yeah. Kevin Bohannon has more on that at Hawk Sports. All right. Appreciate you, Connor.
Thanks, Trey.
All right, everybody, that's Connor Goodson. Follow him at Connor Goodson on X and read his content at hogsports.com, HAWGsports.com. Okay. Bet Saracen is the local, guys. If you use the promo code BIDDY250, BIDDY250, and you use that promo code and you sign up at Bet Saracen and bet $25 on your first bet, you'll get $250 back in bonus bucks to use at Bet Saracen. So pretty good deal. Obviously there's a lot of World Cup stuff going on. There's some future stuff with college football. There's some betting lines out there. I think I saw maybe Utah's favorite at 8.5 or so, which I saw Utah had on EA Sports College Football was the, what was it like, the, it was one of the top 20 places, toughest places to play on the game. It's supposed to be a tough environment to play in. So that's definitely notable. Quincy Rhodes also on that game was listed as the 10th best left defensive end. So one of the top 20 edge guys in the game. I don't know why they list it like that. Like, this guy's a right end, this guy's a left end, you know, when, like, shouldn't you just be listed as a tackle or a guard? Like, why do you have to be – I don't know. I don't know if everybody plays that game, but I certainly do. We've got a big Hog Sports dynasty in that. But anyway, check out our friends over at Bet Saracen, the local guys, the only local guys now.
Sounds like those big out-of-state sports betting apps finally found Arkansas.
So now Bet Saracen is the only true local sports app and still Arkansas's fan fave.
Bet Saracen was made by Arkansans for Arkansans.
Just look at Fayetteville, where Saracen Casino, they're partnered with Hogs football, basketball, and baseball.
And Bet Saracen is also the official sports app for the ASU Red Wolves, UA Little Rock Trojans, and many others.
So bet with Arkansans. Bet Saracen.
Bet with Arkansans. Bet Saracen. Okay, so let's go to some questions now. Should be some interesting comments. I know that my opinion probably on Community America Razorback Stadium isn't popular. And again, I was kind of like a lot of people, like, what the hell is this? Community America? Well, that didn't roll off the tongue. Where is this company? You know, why are we a budget athletic program? But also understand, and I don't blame Razorback fans for having the reactions that they have. Okay, I want you to understand I'm right there with you. Like, expecting the worst is fair. I mean, expecting to be disappointed is 100% warranted. Like, given where this athletic department has been, and I've talked about some things, like we've discussed recently on Drive Time, some things that have to improve. And I mentioned, you know, some of the facilities type stuff that, you know, were great 15 years ago, but now need an upgrade. Like, they just do. And it's been a while since they've upgraded anything aside from the North End Zone expansion, which it's a great facility. The Broyles Complex, Broyles Center, it's great. I'm not a huge fan of the fact that they put the nicest seats available right where the sun blasts you in the face all day. Like, I just didn't think that was a great idea. If it were me, I would have booted us out, the media, put us in the, you know, kind of the side, hopefully, which is probably going to happen one day, and then redid all that and made those nice suites and then put, you know, just some decent seating there in the end zone. That's what I would have done. But, I mean, there's a reason that they built the south end zone and didn't build the north end zone when they originally expanded the stadium. It's because of the sun, because of the shade. Anyway, game day experience is something that's got to be improved too. And I think that Silverfield has his finger on that button. I think people would probably be a little surprised by Silverfield because he comes off, you know, you see him on TV and it's just like, you know, he's got a grin and, you know, a lot of coach speak type of stuff. He's not necessarily like that, you know, like that's the, you know, the image that he puts out there, but he's pretty calculating guy from what I've seen so far. And I think he's really aware of the need for stadium enhancement, but at the same time, you enhance the stadium naturally by having a night game and you enhance it naturally by winning. And we can talk about like what all is going on in the stadium and stuff, but if you were there at the 2021 Texas game, have you been to a better atmosphere for a Razorback football game? Because I haven't. Before that, I felt like the best atmosphere that I'd ever been at was Sugar Bowl in what, 2010, 2011 technically, January 1st, 2011. That was the biggest, best environment I've ever experienced for a Razorback football game to that point. And then it was replaced by Texas, beating Texas that year. But, like, you know, we've talked about LED light shows. Everybody's got this in the SEC. Everybody's got LED where you can turn them on and off automatically. You can, you know, go around the stadium. Like, you can shut the whole lights down, bring it back. Like, it adds something. It adds an environment. And there's a reason that all these different stadiums have been adding it. And Arkansas is one of the ones that doesn't have it. You know, better song selection. We've talked about that. Better song selection throughout the stadium. Removing some of the stupid stuff. Like, do we really give a damn about a dog that catches a Frisbee at this point? Like, is that what we want to see at halftime? Or do we want something more exciting? You know, all this kind of stuff started like how can we ruin Razorback game atmosphere? You guys remember like, we appreciate the donors. Like, it's amazing how upset we get with over sponsors and donors and stuff like that we need. But like having the Razorback walk through the A, like you don't get to run through the walk. You get, you know, the A you get, but we can walk through it. And let's like right before the game, it's like, all right, everybody, now that we've got you pumped up, everybody calm it down. We're going to have these people walk through the A. We're going to honor these boosters. I mean, it was one of the worst ideas that Jeff Long ever had. Stuff like this, be aware, like, don't play eastbound and down in the fourth quarter when the Auburn game's on the line. Like, and your team's kind of melting down. Like, they were throwing interception after interception and turning the ball over and giving the game to Auburn. And then over the loudspeaker, like a field goal, right before a field goal that is going to seal it for Auburn after Arkansas completely gave the game away. Eastbound and down, down. Stupid, like totally out of touch with what's going on the field. Arkansas has one Power Four win in the last like 2 years in the stadium. Why have they sucked so bad? A lot of it's money, poor evaluations, coaching, maybe game day atmosphere. These questions got to be answered. Dogtown Hog says, favorite pick of the draft, how much higher was the ceiling of this team with Malik Thomas back as a Hog instead of an NBA? Or like, I mean, there is somebody there to replace Malik Thomas. And I don't mean that any way against Malik Thomas. Always remember the guy. He was fun as hell to watch. There are guys that are going to come in and take that spot and probably be as good. I don't mean that any other way, okay? Love Malik Thomas, but this is a train of talent that just keeps coming in as long as Cal is here and as long as John Tyson, Hunts, and whoever else has their back. So yeah, it would have been great. Malik Thomas back, but I'm good. I really am. Like, it's fine. Gumpster 117 says, has there been any further explanation of the logic of withholding the financial details? The explanation that Juracek gave was keeping it in-house makes sense from a competitive standpoint. Is Juracek even going to be here when this thing expires? Probably not. But I guess you have to plan like you're going to be. You're here for the job that you're here. So there's that aspect of it. And I don't know. I guess it makes sense not to be like super braggadocious about, like, even if you got a great deal, like, look at this, look at the deal we got on these guys, you know, poking each other in the bushes. Ha ha ha. So that's all this meant. But at the same time, like, it's the University of Arkansas. It's a public institution. I'm for putting that information out there. I want to know what it is. But they didn't just like put out the information for the on-field logos or the jersey patches or any of that stuff. So, got any thoughts on how it provides a competitive advantage? I think it probably provides around $4 to $5 million a year that they need. I mean, think about like how things have changed and shifted financially the last few years. Obviously, you know, you got to carve out $20.5 million out of the budget for revenue sharing. They did the $15 million resolution for the athletic department, which basically took the band off of their hands, having to pay for the band, having to pay for travel, having to pay for rent, basically, to the university, you know, like 3% of the revenue. Like, all of these different things that they were having to pay, you know, has shifted. So, like, it ended up being like, you know, $13.5 million for the resolution, because they still do want to remain a self, you know, independent athletic facility, self-sustaining athletic department. And there is value in that. Like, I know we like say, why would you brag about that when it's when you're winning two games a year? And the benefit of being self-sustaining, and I didn't realize this, is when you start allowing for outside money to come into your program, then somebody else has got to sign off on stuff. So if you need $25,000 in weight room equipment because something broke and you just need it, something that might have taken an hour to look over and approve now has to go be shipped off somebody else. Somebody else has got to approve it, ask questions. Now, why do you need this? It could take a couple weeks to get something like that done. So that makes sense to me, why you'd want to be self-sustaining if you can be. But yeah, I think it provides an advantage financially. It is a public institution. I've had arguments with people on campus. Like, I was out there taking pictures when they were renovating the stadium once, and a guy told me that I could not take pictures. And I said, well, this is a public institution and I'm here to take pictures. And he said, well, I'm going to call campus security. And I said, okay. He's like, I've been told to call security if somebody's out here taking pictures. Like, all right, call security. Of course, he never did, and they never arrived, and I took the pictures. This would have been back in 2018, I think, when we made the move from Rivals to 24/7. And I was out there just shooting, like, you know, hey, we're making the move kind of deal. And I was like, stadium's expanding, we're moving, you know, that kind of deal. Glad we got the naming rights taken care of, says Gumpster. And Community America makes sense, naming partner, how this money goes toward improving the game day experience. Hopefully it goes to that. I mean, some of it's going to NIL directly, like some of it's and immediately before even the stadium name takes hold, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, it's also, it's a credit union. So like they're federally obligated for the revenue that they get to put back into the institution. Like, it's not like a bank where you have stockholders and stuff that, you know, they're trying to make as much money as possible to, you know, pay, you know, increase their stock price and all this stuff. This, like, it's mandated that the money goes back in and to the people who are invested in it as a credit union. Like, so in terms of something like in terms of interest rates or, you know, things like that. So like in a way, like when you're using a credit union, you're a stakeholder in that credit union, you know, so different than a bank. That's mainly how it's different, I guess. Willie B. Hartigan, would you rather have to fight a chimpanzee once a year or have to fight an angry chicken every single time you walk out the front door? I could survive the angry chicken. A chimpanzee would kill me. A chimpanzee would mess you up. So I'm not fighting a chimp. But I will, you know, I'll kick the crap out of a chicken that's trying to attack me. Not because I want to. I don't want to hurt anything. But if it's going to attack me, then I think I can kick it out. I think I can kick it away every day. Be a bad life for the chicken. It'd be a worse life for the chicken than it would be for me. Hogtalica says, it seems like there are people in the media here that cover Razorback Athletics that aren't fans of the team and don't care if they win or lose. It's just a job for them. Is this accurate, sad, or true? I think there are some like that, no question. I think that there are also a decent majority of people in the media who want them to win, who won't admit that, you know, because they're media. And technically, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you look at different media outlets. You look at TV. People who come in from out of state that have no idea what Razorback football is or the history of it is. For example, I saw a news reporter reporting on Gus Malzahn's retiring, and they were saying they were given a background of, you know, his time at, you know, Hughes and Shiloh and Springdale, and then Houston Nutt saw something in him and brought him in on the Razorback coaching staff. But like, obviously, that's not what happened. Houston Nutt, that was forced on Houston Nutt. It's not something he wanted at all. But, you know, they're just looking at, you know, his bio and come up with this idea. But they will refer to Arkansas as us and we. TV people will refer to Arkansas as us and we, even if they have no connection whatsoever to this state. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. Radio people are very much us, we. And a lot of those people have direct ties to the University of Arkansas. But if you're in print media, that is a no-no. Like, you are not to say us or we. And they will teach you that day one of journalism. The thing of it is, most people get into journalism because they have a favorite sports team or they want to cover the Hogs. A lot of guys that, you know, are coming up at the University of Arkansas and are in journalism are Razorback fans. And then first day they're told, like, you're no longer a fan. And for me personally, growing up in this state, going to the University of Arkansas, I've always felt like, so I'm just supposed to lie? Because that also feels disingenuous. I'm just supposed to act like I didn't storm the field in 99 when Arkansas beat Tennessee. I was a student here. I didn't grow up rooting the Razorbacks and calling the Hogs and stuff. And just that's part of me's dead. Like, yeah, I get desensitized in a way from the exposure that I have, but I care. I want them to win. Like, I'd make no bones about it. And maybe I'm different than a regular, you know, traditional print person. I mean, I write articles and I try to be as objective as possible. I think I can be objective and still care. I mean, hell, the people that hate Arkansas the most are its own fans. We eat our own every single day. We hate us. We hate ourselves. Why is that? And I think part of it's just because we're, you know, following a team that's just not winning and doesn't seem to be doing like enough to win, or thinking outside the box, or not dirty enough sometimes. Like, we hate when Hunter Yurecek says legitimate NIL. When that word legitimate NIL comes out of his mouth, we're just like, oh gosh, why aren't we being sanctioned by the NCAA right now for being dirty and pushing the envelope? I get it, but we hate ourselves. It's true. At least there's the I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. Now, if somebody else says something about our family, then that's a problem. Somebody else talks crap about Arkansas, we'll get together on X and just bash them, you know. But I've made this point before. It's kind of like I can make fun of my kid, but you can't make fun of my kid, you know. Looking 2-3 years down the road from Paul Feinhaug, looking 2-3 years down the road, how many wins would CRS need to have to get an extension? Well, he's going to get an extension, okay? So unless he gets fired in 2 years, like Chad Morris did, he will be extended in 2 years. That's the nature of college football coaching contracts, just how it is. So he'll be extended. How many wins does he have to have? I mean, he has to show progress. So, like, they need to have some momentum towards the end of this year. It would be nice to have a winning record and go to a bowl game. I'm not expecting that. But – and a large reason is because I don't know what they got at quarterback. And neither does anybody else. Neither does the coaching staff. They don't know for sure what they have. So, I mean, I'm not saying they've said that. I'm just saying they don't. Show progress towards the end of the year, move in the right direction. Next year, get to a bowl game. 2027, get to a bowl game, and he'll be extended. It's hard to have two losing seasons, but he's not getting fired if he has back-to-back losing seasons. It's just going to be very toxic in 2028. Natural State Sports says, when did you realize it was the end for these coaches? Houston Nutt, I realized it was the end. The Kentucky game that year, when they lost at home, and there was a recruiting section, and fans were, like, the recruits were all still sitting there, and their parents and stuff, and the fans came over and were, like, right on top of the fans and booing the team as they exited the field and went to the locker room, like right over all the recruits. I was like, this is done. Bobby Petrino, I knew it was over. When Shelly Smith came to town, I hung out with Shelly quite a bit. I took her to Hugo's. I took her to Theo's. You know, just showed her around Fayetteville and stuff. I think I mentioned that recently on the show. But when ESPN was coming to town and stuff, and they're, you know, interviewing me, and I was shocked when Petrino came in, first of all, with the neck brace on, but I had heard from somebody who is still tied into the program that there may have been a woman on the back of that motorcycle. One of the craziest things I hear, though, is from people is like, yeah, he got his butt kicked by her boyfriend, her fiance. And like, this was not this massive cover up to cover up this massive cover up. Like, that's not how cover ups works. Let's do a double cover up. Let's put out something that's worse than what actually happened or equally as bad. John L. Smith, I knew that was over when he was hired. I didn't think that he would last, but like when you knew like he was not going to end up getting extended to the next game or the next year, it would have been, you know, the ULM game, losing to ULM. Brett Bielema, when did I know that was over? I had a pretty good idea that was over the Auburn game that year, when they decided to run a hurry up, no huddle offense with 2 weeks to practice and run it against a team that's been doing that their entire lives under Gus Malzahn. Knew that was over. Felt bad about it, South Carolina game, but that Auburn game, it was like, this is it. And definitely the Coastal Carolina game. Chad Morris. When did I know Chad Morris was done? When did I know he was done? I mean, that Portland State game was a bad indicator. I mean, the San Jose State game, I guess, that's – when was that? My timeline on that. I've kind of blacked that era out. 2019 Arkansas football schedule. They beat San Jose State the next week. So they beat Colorado State. That was a huge game. They had to win it. They didn't play awful against Ole Miss on the road. Like, they lost 31-17, but, like, you felt like, okay, Nick Starkle came in. He looks pretty good. They got a chance. And then Starkle threw 5 interceptions against San Jose State. When they lost at home, San Jose State, that was over. Season was over. He was fired, basically. Sam Pittman, the Auburn game, his fourth year, I thought he was going to get fired. The Missouri game that followed, you know, getting your T teeth kicked in by those two teams, and that Auburn team was not very good. And they came in here, and Arkansas rolled over and let him have it. I thought he was going to get fired that season after that game, and then especially after the Missouri game. And then he came back. And the Memphis game, for sure, you know, you knew that was over, and it was. But in my head, I did not think he would make it past year four. Whiskey Drunk says, when will you have the new GM on the show for an interview? I figured you two nerds would be best friends by now. I probably should try to get Geiske Crowley. I think if you haven't listened to Geiske, he is what I like about him is he talks fast. He always seems to have an answer. And I've made the point before, like people who you talk to and you ask them a question, they're like, well, it's, you know, it's very complicated. It's difficult to explain. You know, but Geiske is like, oh yeah, let me show you. Easiest thing in the world. That comes from some stand up. Like, I can't remember the comic that said that, but it's a very good point. But Geiske always seems to have an answer whenever I've asked him anything. I like Geiske. I think he's been a good addition for him. Will he be hard again? Oh, nope. Sorry. Hogs win, baby. Says, if I get a bat walking outside, I'd say the chicken. What? Oh, if you get a bat. I still think you could kick away a chicken. I mean, I've been chased by a crazy chicken before. We used to have chickens. I used to go gather eggs in the morning. You know, we had this thing like, the chicken would back up and like, I didn't have to go into the pen and I could lift up the thing, reach in and grab the eggs out. We had Kentucky Reds and, I've been chased by a rooster. I've gone into that pen. I mean, I was a little boy, and I've been chased by a rooster before, you know, running around screaming. I've been chased by a chicken with his head cut off plenty of times. I mean, we would take the young roosters, the young males and, you know, eat them. And my dad would put them on chopping block, cut their heads off, and those things would run around for a while with their head off. And I remember just like running as a child from the chickens. So, yeah. All right. Feel pretty good about today's show. Hope you guys do too. I think we covered a lot of topics. I know some of the stuff I said is not like what everybody wants to hear, but like, guys, I'm tired of winning. I'm tired of bitching. Like, I want this team, this program to get back on track. And until I see reason to be like, all right, they're going down the wrong direction again, like, I'm going to try to push things in the right direction. Like, that's just how I'm going to do. I'm tired of being ashamed of who we are and being frustrated and being mad at ourselves and hating ourselves. And I feel like that's kind of where we are. Like, everything that's come out, every announcement that's happened recently, it's we're terrible. Like, this is going to be awful. And there's reason to expect that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just a hopeless romantic or something, but I think that we can get back on track here. We did it in basketball. We're living in a bubble right now with basketball, but enjoy it while you can because it doesn't always last. And that's coming from somebody who came up here in 1996, the 96-97 season. After the Sweet 16, after the national championship runner-up, after the national championship, and just kind of thought that it would always be like that. And it took until I was in my 40s for Arkansas to get back to a Sweet 16/Elite 8. So enjoy it while you can. Try not to bitch too much. It's hard, I know. All right, everybody. Appreciate you joining me. Thanks to our sponsors. I feel like I cussed a little bit too much in this one, but not any hard cussing, you know, just a couple of the three lighter words here and there. So, sorry, kids. All right, everybody. This has been Trey Pitty with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time.